So we enter into this first week of Lent. I don't know about for you all, but this week has felt busy, hectic, noisy, crazy at times. It's nice to come into this space, be with one another, be gathered with the folks who are stretched across the state and across the globe. Center ourselves. God is present. Let us take the time to be present with God.
If you are able, please stand and join me in call to worship. Creator God, you gathered up dust from the earth and breathed into it, and it became a living being. Beloved Christ, you went into the desert for 40 days and wrestled with your temptations. Holy Spirit, you are the breath of life. You are our companion in the wilderness.
Come, Holy Spirit, breathe life into us. Lead us in truth and transform us by your grace. Amen.
We're calling this a misprint in the bulletin. We all know the lyrics as "In Vain," but we're changing that this week to "Alone." So if you can remember that. We don't want to run this race alone in recognition of our reassembly.
Trusting in God's tender mercy, let us confess where we have missed the mark with God and with one another.
God of love, help us to see ourselves with the eyes of love, to see all that is in us that is loving, and all that is not loving. Open our eyes to your love living in us, and to all those things that hinder that love. By the grace you show us in Christ, forgive us, heal us, and perfect your love in us.
Hear these words of assurance that indeed the love that lives within us is seen by God, and the love, because of that love that lives within us, we are forgiven. We are able to live in grace. And so in the midst of that grace and wonder, we join and pass the peace of Christ to one another. May we stand for a moment, unmute yourself if you're in Zoom world, and let us indeed pass the peace of Christ to one another.
John,
God be with you
peace
all.
Peace of Christ be with
peace,
you
everyone.
All.
Yes. With all of
you. Be with you.
God
peace be with, with you.
Clara.
With you.
Hi, Gloria.
Peace be with you.
Hi, Jean Kaufman. See ya.
Hey, Francis.
Francis.
Hi, John Ree. Peace,
hey, Skip and Sandy.
Peace be with you.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Marco Sergio.
Peace be with you.
With. Yes.
Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you, Kahu David.
Hey, I will. Clara and Chuck.
Hey, Don. Hey, David.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Telka. Don.
Hey,
Janet.
Harriet.
Elden.
Hey, Janet.
You all.
Yes. Yes. Hi there, Janet.
Jeannie.
Hi, hey, David.
Chuck and Clara.
Annette.
And Chuck and Clara.
Hi, Val.
Peace, Val.
Aaron, Larry.
Yes. Hi, Janet.
Crossroads, the church I've been going to since I was born. The church that always makes me smile. The church where I'm always barefoot. I love Crossroads for three reasons. One, the people. The people are all very loving and kind. They play with me and remember me. I've made many friends here, and I'll probably make many more. Some people in my life today would never be my friends if it wasn't for Crossroads. The next reason I like church is because of the food. I'm always very hungry, and Crossroads has the best food. Auntie Kathy's lunches are always the bomb, and so are the snacks and juices. I always feel super full. And three, Crossroads does many good things for our society. We do the MLK March, church fair, family promise for homeless families, sign waving, and demonstrations for environment. It is important to act together because we can impact a lot of people and we need a good environment to live in. Please help Crossroads with a donation so many other people could experience the same feelings as me and we can continue to work for the better environment and community.
Way to go, Emma. And if you're in the, and if you want to make donations, you can do it online. Or if you're here, we have calabashes in the back that you can drop it in on the way after. Emma, thank you. Well done. Appreciate it.
Lonely and alone.
Jesus is my portion. A constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing.
Doxology singing while Lena plays.
Oh,
never mind.
Dear God, we are grateful for being able to gather here today. We thank you for all you provide for us. Open our eyes to see the gifts you've given us, families, friends, communities, clean water, clean air, and trees and more. Open our eyes to see the truth, even when they are hard to confront. We pray that you help us work for social justice, environmental sustainability, and peace. Renew our spirits, fill us with your peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is a full table. I love it. So we want to take a moment to gather ourselves in prayer as a community. One of the prayers that I would ask that you would lift up right now is a prayer of safe traveling mercies for Chris, who is en route, been on the mainland singing with the UH Ensemble Choir, and is en route this way, and a prayer of joy as well to Ben and Lisa and Lena for helping to lead the music in Chris's absence. God, hear our prayers. Val asks that we would offer prayers for Ukrainians and people everywhere who are distraught by what is happening in Ukraine, for those within the country who are trying to repeal a threatening invasion or endure it, and for more than a million refugees who have had to flee from it. May the world's leaders be inspired with wise and smart ways to end this conflict and bring forth an enduring peace. God, hear our prayers. Francis Wong asks us to lift up in prayers for the family and friends of Dee Nishimura, a long ago part of the Crossroads diaspora, public school art teacher, member of Timari, and a student of Sensei Kenny Endo. Prayers most especially for her husband, Keith Dee, collapsed from a burst aneurysm Tuesday night and passed early Friday morning. God, hear our prayers. Irene asks us for prayers for her friend, Jamie. Jamie, who has had, as Irene says, the most horrible of years, the worst of which was the part was that when her two-month-old son died in January, but has also been the victim of domestic violence and a slew of legal challenges. And so Irene asks for prayers for Jamie, but she also asks if there might be some folks who might feel called to be a support system for Jamie. So if you feel that in your prayers, come and let me know, and I can get you connected with both Irene and Jamie so we can surround her with light and love at this time. God, hear our prayers. Richard Jackson asks for his friend Ross as he awaits, hopefully, prayers for his friend Ross as he awaits, hopefully, a positive Social Security disability determination. God, hear our prayers. Shanti has sent me a number of prayers for the life and times of Stephen Hanashiro, brother of our beloved Edith Laeha. Stephen's memorial service will be held this coming week. She asks us also to pray for kapua given to the people of Otonga and Ukraine. She asks for prayers for the people and animals who are working to get by despite various challenges and disabilities. She also asks a prayer of gratitude for the fact that our COVID cases are coming down, as are the numbers of people who are passing from it. She says to remind us to wash our hands so people congregate and to social distance. So for all those many prayers that Shanti sends our ways, God, hear our prayers. And lastly, a prayer of joy from Skip and Sandy Polson, for they are pleased to announce the arrival of a new grandchild, Lyndon Avery, who is born to their daughter Miyako and her partner Kai this past Thursday. God, hear our prayers. Linda, have one come to you. Let me just bring a microphone to you.
This prayer is actually for me. It's a prayer of rejoicing and thanksgiving that Irene has been approved for ordination.
Yay!
That's wonderful. Thank you, Linda. Shanti, I see your hand up there. Are there more prayers that you want to offer?
Yes, I have found out that many people, they might know Makia Malo. He died last year. The blind storyteller, he came from Kalapapa. And they were able to ship his body back, and he was buried at home.
Nice. So for Makia Malo, thank you. Many of us have heard him. God, hear our prayers. Let us continue our worship now with our scriptures.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights, he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you are God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to really live." For the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. Then the devil said, "They are yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I am in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me, and they are yours, the whole works." Jesus refused, again backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. Worship the Holy One, your God, and the Holy One. Serve God with absolute single-heartedness. For the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. He said, "If you are God's chosen one, jump. It's written, isn't it, that God has placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone." "Yes," said Jesus, "and it is also written, don't you dare tempt the Holy One, your God." That completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily lying in wait for another opportunity. That ends the reading.
Thank you, Aya. Thank you, Emma, again. So about a week ago, I got on my knees to beg Emma to help with our worship service today, and I think she did a great job. So thank you, Aya, for sharing that with her. I was telling Gabriel here that this sermon, as I sort of began to allow it to unfold in my brain, I kept having Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and Star Wars running through my head. They didn't make it in as much emphasis as I had hoped that they would, or had thought that they might. But I want you all should, I wish you could see this scene right here of the art that is going on right now around Auntie Malia. So I want those of you who are doing coloring and everything, listen to see if you hear anyone hear me talk about Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, any of the members of the Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, any of those things if you've read, and if any of you have read any of that information, any of those stories, well, then you're in a good place. I almost got my son, by the way, to zoom in on worship service today because he heard that I might be preaching about Star Wars. No such luck, but it was this close. So think about it. What a way to begin your ministry. What a way to begin your ministry just after you've been baptized. Just after you've been baptized and the heavens have opened up and you've heard the voice of God come out of the heavens and say, "This is my beloved for whom I am well pleased." And then the very next moment, the heavens close and you are sent off into the wilderness for 40 days. Into the desert wilderness for 40 days. No food, no water, no human companionship. 40 days into your ministry, you haven't had the opportunity to heal anyone. You haven't had the opportunity to share with anyone any wise things, and you're already on the brink of death. What a way to begin your ministry. And in that moment, in that very, very difficult moment, the story tells us he is tempted, that the evil one comes to him and tempts him and says, "Jesus, it doesn't have to be this way. You can take these stones right here, turn them into bread. Look at the stones that are on our altar. There's 40 stones and candles and stuff here. I could make 40 loaves of bread right here with that temptation. Imagine the people that I could feed with 40 loaves of bread. What an amazing temptation it is to give to him. And yet, here's the thing. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie that is fueled by hate and fed by hunger. It's a lie because you cannot turn stones into bread. You do need stones to make bread. Particularly in the ancients of times, you needed stones to make bread. Those millstones to grind the grain to make it into flour. That children's song that some of you may know, in which we sing, "Back of the grain is the mill. Back of the mill is the sun and the rain and all of God's goodwill." There are other versions of that. But think about that. Back of the grain is the mill. Back of the mill is the sun and the rain and the grain. And so much more. So much more. Back of the grain is the soil, the dirt, the nematodes, the worms, all those microorganisms doing what they need to do. Not only that, there's the warmth that is there. There's the waters that are there. There's all the yeast that is there to rise. All of these things come together. There's the baker's hands. All of these things that come together to make bread. It is a miracle, and it is a miracle that actually goes back 13.8 billion years because all those things that make bread are part of the elements of the universe that have gone across galaxies and gamma rays and come to us. In fact, for us to have bread at this table, for us to have bread at this table, this very bread, it takes a coordinated dance of cooperation across all the eons for us to have this. So when the disciples gather with Jesus around a table just like this on that very last night, and there is bread in front of them, that bread is a testament to a truth that makes a lie out of what the devil is saying to Jesus there at the beginning of his ministry. You cannot make bread from stones, But you can make bread using stones and so many other things, a coordinated way. So if you want to deal with hunger, whether it is the hunger of an individual after 40 days, or it is the hunger of the billions of people who go to bed every night hungry, their bellies crying for food, it requires coordination and commitment and cooperation founded in love. To sit at this table, to look and to take the bread, is to indeed live into that truth. That truth of love that shifts the world, not a snapping of one's fingers. Jesus, the devil says after that, the evil one says to that him after that, he says, Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world are mine. All the kingdoms of the world are mine. You can have them all bow down to you. You can have them all bow down to you. What a temptation. What a temptation. Is that not what Darth Vader is saying to his son, Luke Skywalker? Son, deep, deep, raspy voice. Son, together you and I can rule the galaxy as one, bend it to our will. Is that not what Tolkien is talking about when he says, one ring to rule them all in the Lord of the Rings, and Sauron wants that one ring so desperately, Sauron of the evil eye wants that ring so desperately, so that he can bend all the worlds to all the realms of Middle-earth to his will, and the worship that will follow it. And even Boromir, who is this good character in that Lord of the Rings trilogy, he wants the power of that one ring to rule them all so that he can bend the will of all the realms of Middle-earth to the good, except for he is willing to do evil in order to get the good, which tells us that the good will never come. It is a temptation, though. It is a temptation that we have. Who amongst us would not like to snap our fingers right now? Snap our fingers and make the issues, the problems in Ukraine go away. Who amongst us would not like to snap our fingers and settle once and for all of the issues in Palestine? Who would not like to snap our fingers and impose the way upon a world so that we can deal with the changes in the climate and heal the world that is hurting? Who among us would not want that? But it's all based on a lie. It's based on a lie because the evil one does not control all the kingdoms of the world. And those kingdoms can be as small as two people who hang together as friends and partners, or as large as empires. The evil one does not control those. The evil one does not own any of those. Any way in which the evil one is there is because we have acquiesced that control to the evil, not because it is given to evil to begin with. Right here at the very table on that last night, we saw that happening. We know the story. There is one sitting at the table who is indeed in the thrall of evil. We'll go from that table, and we'll go from that table out into the night to get his 30 pieces of silver. Perhaps he's greedy. Perhaps it's greed that drives Judas there. Perhaps this, as others have speculated, is simply because he's trying to tip Jesus' hand so that he would ultimately become that messianic warrior. Who knows? But for whatever it is, he is in the thrall of evil. But the kingdom that is that table right there is more than just that one who is in the thrall of evil, because around that table are those who will indeed falter in fear in the days to come. But there are also those, the women, who will not falter, who will be at the foot of the cross, who will be there when they come and find that the stone has been rolled away and the risen one rises to the world, first to them and into them. Right there at the table is the living reality that we are the ones that determine what is the nature of the kingdoms of the world, whether they are as small as a pear or as large as an empire. And so because of that, we get to do what we can to shape things. You look at the Ukraine right now and you go, what is it that I can do? What is I can do 10,000 miles away? It seems like very little to say that, well, you can offer your prayers. If you offer your prayers and they are sincere, they will center you. And as they center you, they will give to you. You will find within yourselves answers of how you can help. This last week, we sent you a list of at least a dozen organizations that you can contribute to for relief. I just heard today an amazing story of people who are booking Airbnbs in Ukraine right now. Why are they booking Airbnbs? Not because they plan to travel, but because it sends instant cash It sends instant cash to the people in Ukraine, and the people in Ukraine that have those Airbnbs are using their space now to shelter refugees. There are creative ways in which we can be involved if our heart, because it is our heart that determines the nature of the kingdoms of the world, if our hearts are in place and we work to that. We work to raise these children to not just be peace seekers, but peace makers, to be engaged in a world where they are invested in making peace. We work to be an outpost of the beloved community right here at 1212 University Avenue. And if there are more and more outposts of the beloved community all over the world, there are less and less places for the evil one to put their hands on and shape and shift the world. Right here at the table, in the community that is around it, and the table that is us, the community that is around this table right now, whether it's 2,000 years ago or now, right here at this table is the truth that gives way, that tells us that what the evil one is saying is simply a lie. We, by the nature and the orientation of our hearts and our spirits and our actions, we shape the kingdoms of this world. Jesus, the evil one says, Jesus, I have one more for you. One more for you. Knowing that he's 40 days hungry, knowing that he is probably bruised already from 40 days in the desert wilderness, says, wouldn't you like your suffering to end? Wouldn't you like to be able to not struggle anymore? Wouldn't you like to just float on angel wings? Who amongst us would not like that very thing as well? Who amongst us, if not for ourselves, would not want that for our loved one? Life is hard. Life is hard. Listen to the prayers we prayed just a few moments ago. There was some pain. There was some hurt in those prayers. Life is hard, and who amongst us would not want to be able to snap our fingers and make it go away? But the truth of the matter is, struggle and suffering is indeed a part of life. None of us escape that. None of us escape that, but the reality is of struggling and suffering, not always does it have meaning, but at some times it is the very struggle, the very suffering that opens the door to grace and beauty that is waiting to emerge. A butterfly will never fly to all those places it can go unless it struggles to free itself from the cocoon that has encased it. A redwood seed will never become a redwood tree, never become a seedling unless there is fire that burns off the underbrush and fire that burns off its hard outer exterior. Rice will never soften without heat. Bread will never rise without heat. I think of Harry Potter stories. Harry Potter puts himself before Lord Voldemort and offers himself in living sacrifice that his friends may survive. Luke Skywalker throws his lightsaber aside in that story when he understands that there is still good in his father and faces the emperor of all of his in all of its evil unadorned. Every community that we know, oftentimes the place where they hit their stride, their most, is in the recovery from disaster. Look at the ways in which we as a community, all the folks that are in Zoom world and all of us here have responded to now 2 years from this day when the first COVID case was recorded in Hawaii. Look at how we have responded and supported one another. Struggle, suffering is part of life, and right here, in this very table, the very thing is here. We say it. This is the blood of the new covenant that has been shed for you. The blood of the new covenant. Life that is given that others may have life fully. This is a covenant of love that we are invited to be a part of, that all who surrounded that table 2,000 years ago and all who surround it today understand that this is what we are called to. This is what we are called to. If you want to shift the world, enter into the world's struggles. Enter into the suffering. Give of yourself to shift that world that others may have life full and abundant. So when those disciples of 2,000 years ago were gathered at this table, like these disciples of 2022 are gathered at this table. In that moment of 2,000 years ago, which was the bookend of Jesus's ministry, the other bookend being that sojourn in the desert wilderness for 40 days, and here that last moment gathered together with everyone before everything is going to break loose the next day. In that bookend, there are the elements, the bread that says to us, we can indeed feed one another, but we work together, coordinated, cooperative, in love. We can indeed shape the realities of a world. The church has been involved in that for well on 2,000 years, to shape the realities of the world by the nature of our hearts and how we allow our hearts to gather together. We can indeed create life that is abounding and full for others by entering into the struggles and hurts of the world as well. Right here. Right here are all the truths. Right there were simply lies. We are called to live into those truths. So we remember that on the night in which Jesus gathered with those disciples and was betrayed, he took bread, probably simple flat bread like this, and he broke it. He said, this is my body which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same fashion, he took a cup, he poured the wine into that cup, and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood, which has been shed for you, for a covenant that is centered on love, a covenant that is centered on giving of our life, that others, sharing of our lives, that others may have life full and abundant. And so ministering in his name, I offer to you the elements of this table. There will be those that will pass this bread. For those who do not need gluten-free, if you need the gluten-free, Liz will have this bread. And we, of course, have the wine in its earliest, most primal form of grapes. So come. The table is set. Our Kokua team will now share with you all.
Drink with me to days gone by. Can it be you fear to die? Will the world remember you when you fall? Could it be your death means nothing at all? With me for days ahead, eat with me and not forget. Will the life we've lived be ever revived? Will you share and give and show them my life? With me in memory.
can share your dreams of me. Will we falter if too long on our own? At the altar, are you ever alone? Remember you.
Please join me in the communion prayer. Wondrous God, mahalo for the gifts of this table, the bounty from our land, and the people being woven into your community in this place. As we share in this bread, may we allow our lives to be given in service and love, justice and peace. As we drink from the cup, and take in its blessing, may we prepare ourselves to give drink to the thirsty, food to the hungry, be friends with the oppressed, and serve the whole of your creation. Amen.
Oh, God.
So let us go forth into this world, united in spirit, united in as one body, united in one blood, united in aloha. Iho o kahi kahi kamana'o. Iho o kahi kahi ke aloha. Iho o kahi kahi pu'uwai. Let us go forth into this world, united, a world that needs our hearts, needs our love. Amen. Amen.